TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness.
From the New School in New York City, the People's Climate Week launch. Voices from the Mariana Islands, Puerto Rico, and Pakistan demand an end to fossil fuel use and war. The Indigenous Environmental Network, IEN, brought members and allies from across the world to New York City to take part in the 75,000-strong March to End Fossil Fuels. The march filled the streets of New York City ahead of the UN Climate Ambition Summit. The IEN also held teach-ins and press conferences. And on last week's radio program, you heard from grassroots opposition to pipelines, geoengineering, hydrogen production, carbon capture, and sequestration. On this program, I'm bringing you extraordinary speakers from the Mariana Islands, Puerto Rico, and Pakistan. Here first is Kami Diaz.
Hafide todos hamzu, inan husi Kami Diaz Agarola, ginen guajan zani islas Marianas. Hello everyone, my name is Kami Diaz Agarola. I'm from the Mariana Islands, the ancestral homelands of the indigenous Chumoa peoples. And my home is pretty far away, and I wanted to bring, you know, some of the islands to you in some way on this occasion. And if you know anyone from the islands, you know we like to talk story. So I invite you to listen along to a story of the ingenuity of my ancestors and the fight of their times. So a long time ago in the Pacific Ocean lived this big, giant, greedy fish. This big fish consumed so much, it almost consumed the entire island, leaving the people fearful for a future divided and our lands devoured. Our Tautamotna, our ancestors before us, and our peoples both knew something had to be done, but with only the fishermen of the island leading, all of their efforts had failed. Until one day, the brave women of Guahan, they organized and they mobilized in the island's center river. They cut their long hair and they sang prayers while weaving this giant net that can possibly catch this big fish. They used their knowledge and collective power to work together. And under the guidance of leadership of the matriarchs, they caught the giant fish. Yes, and they saved our islands. Now there is a new threat to our oceans, lands, and our peoples, bigger than the giant fish, bigger than the Marianas. What is this threat? Keep it coming, say it louder. Yes, colonization and militarism. If you look at the collective memory of our Mariana Islands, the effects of ongoing colonization and militarization has seeped its way into our people's bloodstreams and our lands. As frontline communities, we are already feeling the effects of climate change in our waters. And in my lifetime alone, I've seen the sea swallow our shoreline, and I've experienced multiple super typhoons, one that just happened a couple months ago. As a young person from Guahan, the militarization of my homelands is the only experience I've known, disrupting my generation's connection to our language, our traditions, and our environment. My island is only 32 miles long. The jungles I passed on the way to my grandparents' house in the north side has been decimated for the expansion of military testing, training, and occupation. Toxic contamination from military activities and even the adoption of American lifestyles and addictions has led to the sickness of our bodies, our minds, and our spirits. My ancestors' bones that have rested in the soil for thousands and thousands of years have been uprooted and disturbed. Currently, there are billions and billions of dollars being spent on weapons and using them in my region. In 2025, a firing range complex is set to be activated right over a precious aquifer that provides the island with over 80% of its freshwater resources. All of this is being done without the pre and prior informed consent of my community. And this big fish is consuming one third of Guahan's land, more and more islands in our archipelago, like our sister islands in Saipan, in Tinian, in Luta, and our northern islands. They also are occupying Palau, the Marshall Islands, and occupying the lands of Hawaii, Okinawa, and the Philippines. Guam specifically is one of the longest colonized territories in Pacific history, with over 500 years of uninterrupted settlements from competing world powers. Under the eyes of the US, we are an unincorporated territory. And in the eyes of the world, we are a strategic location for the world war games. We've seen outsiders define our island's legacy through military interests and points on a Western map, but our story is one of resistance. And our story is one of collective power and the call to support decolonization. Land back, water back, we know this. And we know that we can't do it alone. And my intention is to bring the voices and the stories of my people to the world. The voices that demand for peace and diplomacy in the face of war. Given the rising geopolitical tensions and the climate crisis, we believe that collective prayer and intentions for peace and healing is powerful. So as we've been gathering our communities from the local and the global movement leaders of our futures in light of the climate change and in light of war, we also want to build intergenerational power and cohesion to help heal the impact of colonization towards unity in the Mariana Islands and across Pacifica. So I'm one of four Chamorro women standing here today, mobilizing grassroots movements and international movement leaders to make a declaration for peace and climate justice at our Making Wave Summit on Guahan. Yes, it's happening October 20th and 21st, so it's coming up. This is the first of its kind in Micronesia. It's pretty like monumental because we're part of the first ever cohort from the Tishman Center, the Environmental Justice Movement Fellowship. I have my comrades in the audience here today giving me some power and love. And we need more folks to continue to do this work and disrupt and design and work together towards collective leadership at the front lines, because this is important work. And I want to see y'all in October so we can make waves together. It is time to reframe the story imparted on our people and reclaim the ancestral knowledge that has held our people for 4,000 years. It's time for us to hold this big fish accountable. It's time for us to defund and divest from the military, because we are not a sacrifice zone. No war, no warming. I come here standing on the shoulders of my ancestors, and I want to use our voices and our prayers and our actions to catch this big fish so that our islands and our Pacific will have peace. Thank you all. Saina Ma'asi, hu agradesi estina oportunidad. Thank you for this opportunity, GGJ, to speak to my indigenous relatives and everyone here who are standing up to the big fish of our time. Saina Ma'asi. Thank you all. I wanted to, again, I wanted to bring a little piece of my home to you, and we've been doing a lot of chants here at GGJ, so I kind of wanted to bring that energy. Are y'all okay with that? Is that okay? All right. So this is in my native language of Chamorro. It's a beautiful language, and I'm excited to hear y'all speak it with me. So I'm going to say the words in white, and y'all are going to say the words in yellow, and it's going to go, Tatauta, Manhita, Tatauta, Prutehi itanota. Prutehi itanota. And that translation is, the people united will protect the earth. Can we try it all together? All right. I think we need to like shake it up. Y'all are so like step in your chairs. Okay. All right. Tatauta. Prutehi itanota. Tatauta. Prutehi itanota. Tatauta. Prutehi itanota. One more time. Tatauta. Brutahi! Sign of awesome, everyone, for your energy.
Thank you, Cami, for bringing the energy. I know so many of y'all know this, but it's really stressful when you're trying to say all the things you need to say and all the important things you want people to know and understand. And it's nerve-wracking when you're trying to say all the things. But Cami, like, brought it tonight. She brought it. So I want to invite up Brittany, who I haven't seen in forever, but we hugged earlier, so y'all missed it. But but come on up, Brittany, or you're gonna do yours from there.
I'm the one who was like, can I?
Yeah, stay you in can my sit seat? where you feel your power. Do what you got to do.
My name is Brittany Ramos Taveros. I am a daughter of white settlers to this land who worked land that wasn't theirs, farmed and worked land that wasn't theirs, and generations later would come to buy into the lie of rugged individualism that they suffered and struggled under. I'm also the daughter of an Afro-Puerto Rican orphan who was orphaned because of the poverty that US colonialism created in Puerto Rico. And my life has been shaped by the inherent trauma that that colonial induced poverty passed forward into my life and my father's life. I'm a person who carries the wounds of war, and I'm a person who participated in the occupation of Afghanistan. And my life is a commitment to refusing to turn away from the contradictions that we embody because it's difficult, and instead leaning in to the solidarity, the healing, the reparations, and the repair that we have the opportunity together to commit ourselves for transformation. My charge today was to talk about particularly the intersection of militarism and climate crisis from the place of being a US military veteran. But I think that the most important point on this that I can make today is that these systems that we're speaking about today, climate crisis, capitalism, colonialism, militarism, patriarchy, white supremacy, are not separate systems. They're mechanisms that are all components of a machine that work together. Economic exploitation is the purpose of that machine. Social hierarchy based on pillars of race and gender are the division and control mechanisms that enable that exploitation of the many by a greedy few. And militarism is the enforcement mechanism for that machine and system. So we can't tear down the machine of capitalist colonialism and exploitation while ignoring the mechanisms that make it work and protect it. I think it's not news to anyone in this room that there's a connection between the US military and militarism and climate crisis. We're organizers here. We're people on the front lines. We're people who know this truth in our bodies, in the bones of our families and ourselves. And yet, we're organizers. So I thought maybe the best thing I could do was offer some really specific examples that we can carry forward in our work that illustrate those connections. 900 of the 1,300 Superfund polluted sites are US military bases. Of course, that means that military families and veterans are poisoned on those bases. But it also means that given that the original purpose of the US military was to squash and respond to indigenous resistance, and that the positioning of those bases, particularly here on Turtle Island, still maps to proximity to indigenous land and communities to this day, that we all feel the effects of that direct connection to the physical presence of military bases on this land before we ever even talk about what the US military is doing overseas. The US military alone burns about 9 million gallons of oil per day. Per day. It produces about 1.2 billion with a B metric tons of CO2 annually. We're providing military assistance to 73% of the world's dictatorships, and that almost always maps to clearing a path for US-based transnational corporations seeking to extract and exploit land and resources for their gain. One third of Laos is still contaminated with an estimated 80 million unexploded bombs from the US war on Vietnam. And more than 20,000 Laotians have died since the end or supposed end of that war because of the need for farmland and the need to reconnect with and tend the land for survival. Toxic materials left from the bombardment of Iraq have skyrocketed the cancer rate from 40 per every 100,000 people before the U.S. invasion, the first U.S. invasion, to 1,600 per 100,000 today. And the genetic damage rate, which has to do with infant mortality and birth defects, is reportedly the highest in any population ever studied in human history. I myself was poisoned by the burn pits that we carried out in Afghanistan. And if that's the case, alongside so many other veterans who carried out this war based on lies, how many uncounted Afghan people will suffer the same sicknesses without the healthcare infrastructure because it was destroyed by the wars that were instigated by CIA operations for US transnational corporation gain? This is a depressing list, and my time is over. It doesn't offer solutions, but what I hope it illustrates is the point that none of our campaigns, if we added them all up in isolation, adds up to tearing down this machine. I'm not saying that they're not worthwhile. All I'm saying is that fundamentally, we have an imperative to knit together our efforts, our struggles, into a revolutionary strategy that has the capacity not to win concessions from these who don't give a about the rest of us, but can change, fundamentally change who gets to make decisions about our bodies, our resources, and our earth.
Wow. I know y'all are taking notes. There was a lot there with both Cammie and Brittany. So please, like, hold that. And it was a lot to hold, all right? And we were feeling it, so we switched up what we're gonna do right now. So there's a song coming.
Yeah, so I'm gonna do a line and invite you again to sing with me and sing as if we are offering love and appreciation and strength to our Kasamas, Cammie and Brittany. Okay, y'all? I have not come here alone.
I have not come here alone.
I carry my people in my bones.
I carry my people in my bones.
I have not come here alone.
I have not come here alone.
And if you listen, you can hear it in my song.
And if you listen, you can hear it in my song.
Thanks, y'all.
I have two more guests who are going to bring some stuff. And just, you know, just to recap for the folks in the last piece, like, keep track of those themes. There was a lot there around the structures and systems, around demilitarization, the attacks on land and body. Keep track of some of these things. And now I'm going to invite Mohiba and Jose. Are y'all going to stay there? You can come up. You're welcome to go either way. All right, Mohiba, come.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mohiba Ahmed, and I'm from Pakistan. So honored to be here, and especially so honored to be here with members from Drum. If you're from Drum, please raise your hand, everyone. Yeah, I'm here because you are here. So it has been a very emotional day. I was in the morning at the press conference as well. And when it comes to talking about our communities and how our communities have been affected by the climate crisis, it just saddens the heart. We at DC's Rising Up and Moving represent the communities of the global South, the South Asian and Indo-Caribbean working class immigrant communities that face the worst effects of the climate crisis. The communities that are employed as cheap labor within our own countries by industries of the global north, looking to export their carbon footprint and outsourcing the impacts of their resource extraction. The communities whose water and air is poisoned because the developed countries treat our homelands as dumping grounds. We are the communities that are experiencing an increase in climate change induced rainfalls, droughts, and soaring temperatures, losing more and more people to climate change every year. We are also the communities that have been and continue to be at the front lines in our homelands and here in the US. There are so many among us who have been displaced from our ancestral lands, forced to migrate and work low-wage jobs in New York City to support both our families here and back home. We are also the ones that are hit the hardest when the climate disasters like Hurricane Sandy floods our basements or the smoke from the wildfires makes it difficult for us to breathe. Our communities have contributed the least to the man-made climate disaster. It has actually been hundreds of years of colonization and ongoing imperial extraction that has produced this climate crisis. It has not been us, it has not been our communities. The capital and resources that the global north, like the US, has acquired has been accumulated through a systemic exploitation of our people and the dispossession of our lands. The global north has more because the global south has been made to have less. This is climate apartheid. After the devastating floods of 2022 in Pakistan that took the lives of more than 1,700 lives, displaced over 33 million people, and caused damages of around $16 billion to an already crippled economy, we at Desi's Rising Up and Moving put together a request for TPS and SSR for the undocumented Pakistani immigrants and international students who were under increased burden to support their families affected by the disaster. However, the Biden administration paid no heed to our request and instead continued to focus on ridiculous solutions that have done nothing and will do nothing to improve the situation. We have had enough of the colonizers and the imperialists trying to pass off their false solutions of carbon capture, clean hydrogen, etc., as the way out of this crisis. We reject these solutions and the basis on which they stand. And our people and our communities have a few demands that we would like to put forth. We demand that the global north cancel our debts. Because these debts have been amassed as a result of not being able to recover economically after mass destruction in wake of climate catastrophes. We demand an end to the debt trap. Pakistan's debt trap was spearheaded by military dictators and sham democratic governments who offered strategic debt in the region to the US and its allies during the Cold War and the War on Terror, and agreed to advance neoliberal and economic practices by cutting down on public spending and welfare. We demand the leash be cut from the IMF structural packages. We say no to climate funding that have always been tied to liberalization of trade and finance, privatization of state-owned industries, drastic cut to public subsidies, and the commodification of nature. We demand climate reparations and repair. We also demand that our countries be provided with resources that were stolen from us. Right. We demand the funds and technology to build climate resilient infrastructures. And we unite with our indigenous, black, brown siblings as we demand the global north end fossil fuels. And the global north also hold companies responsible for polluting and killing our planet. Reparations and repair are the only way forward to a just transition. And we need a complete transformation of the political and economic system, because that is the only real solution to climate crisis. Thank you.
Wow, thank you very much. If y'all weren't sure what you needed to do, that list of demands was fire. So many notes for everyone to be taking. You know, I think when I think about the just transition, we don't need a handful of large scale wind or solar plant or facilities. The scale that we need are hundreds, thousands of locally controlled, community held, small projects that come from the community that say, and that resource and energy stays in the community. That's the kind of scale that we need to have. We need to have that by the thousands across the country, and we need our governments to invest in that. And you know what? Despite the government not investing in that, that is happening. There are solutions and small help projects all across the country happening.
That was the moderator of the event for the People's Climate Week launch, sponsored by the Indigenous Environmental Network, IEN. They met for almost 5 hours in the auditorium of the New School in New York City on September 19, 2023. The IEN is now preparing to raise the demand to end the use of fossil fuels at the upcoming United Nations Climate Change Conference, COP28, in the oil-rich United Arab Emirates. The meeting in Dubai will be held from November 30th to December 12, 2023. To stay up to date, check the Indigenous Environmental Network at ienearth.org. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. Our email address is tuc@tucradio.org. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening.